Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're glad to have you with us here this Sunday evening. It's October 8th, 2023, and you can find us here on New Visions Radio every Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We're grateful to Ray Powers for keeping us on the air here at New Visions Radio, and we're just thrilled to be a part of this family and be able to share God's Word with people.
Yes.
It's a blessing to be able to just share the gospel.
It's a blessing to us as well as to people listening, hopefully.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think that I really believe that a lot of times we get more out of it than people do.
Yeah.
Because I'm encouraged by this every weekend
right. When
we come together. And, you know, last week we had our brother Jason here.
Yes.
And if you didn't get a chance to listen to that, you might enjoy it. It was about Islam and about
the
Bible. Yeah. Yeah, it's very interesting. Yeah. So, let's see, as far as our ministry, Ed, you want to share a little bit about it?
Sure. Well, our brother Jason was here. We just got through doing a prophecy series. It was a beautiful time. We got to meet a lot of people we haven't met before that Zoom in online and study with us, and we had 7 baptisms.
It was amazing. It really was. It's so exciting, you know, and people came from, you know, we're just here in Virginia, and I know that Ed has mentioned this before. You know, we're just a tiny little ministry.
Literally, very, very, very little, a blip on the map.
Yeah, and we're an independent ministry, and most of the people that study and that we study with are from all over the place, and we do it via Zoom more than here.
Yeah, we had people attending from California, from Texas, from Colorado, from Carolinas, from Florida,
Georgia, Idaho,
Iowa.
Yeah. It's amazing. And you know, it's just God has given us this technology. New Visions Radio is part of that.
Right.
And he's given us this technology to be able to reach people with the gospel. This is what has to happen before Jesus can come.
You know, in spite of the horrible pandemic that we experienced, in a way it was a blessing to us because we started Zooming because of that.
That's true.
And it opened up the ability to study with people all across the country, all across the world, in fact.
Yeah, all around the world.
Greece.
We have a brother in the studio with us right now that is from Greece.
Yeah.
So, and he's just visiting.
And we have someone from India that joins us on a regular basis, the UK, Spain or France?
There was somebody from France. I haven't seen them in a while. Oh, France. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I was thinking there was another person, but actually that brother from France helps us with our website.
Yeah.
So.
And there's all kinds of good conversations. Just the warmth of fellowship was just amazing. Anyways, we have services on Wednesday evening.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Bible study / prayer time, and that's available to anyone via Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
And we have services on Saturday, or the Sabbath, the biblical Sabbath, where we have a Bible study at 9:30 and then our regular worship hour at 11.
Yeah, and you'll have to excuse me. My voice is a little raspy. We have some pollen. We're getting some rain right now, which is good, but so forgive me if I keep clearing my throat. But the other thing is the Wednesday night study that we have a prayer meeting and study. We don't stream that because it's very personal.
Right.
And people have prayers that they don't want broadcast to the world.
Right.
But on Sabbath, we stream that live.
Right.
And you can find that at prophecyhope.com. That's the website.
And if you're interested in what the sermons or the talks that Jason gave on Islam and the Bible, that's online, isn't it?
Yes, it is. In fact, if you go to the left side and you go to Bible Prophecy Series, there's a whole list of them. Just click that little drop-down tab, and you'll see 2023 Bible Prophecy Series. And when you click that, you'll see them lined up there. But if you click on the main link, it'll list them in order. And if you watch them from top to bottom, it'll lay the foundation for the things that he talks about.
Right.
Because, you know, let's face it, we've talked about this before. You can't understand the Bible unless you have a foundational belief.
Right.
You know, and so typically we start things in Genesis, but we assume that there's some understanding on the part of the people that come to some of these series. So we started in Daniel, and we put Daniel and Revelation together.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how they fit like right. a hand in glove.
Yeah, it's same terminology.
Yeah, and it really bolsters your faith so much to see those things that have occurred in history that were predicted thousands of years beforehand.
Right.
It's amazing.
Right.
So let me see. If somebody wants to contact you, Ed, how do they do that?
You can reach me, Ed, at prophecyhope.com.
And you can reach me at the email, mark at prophecyhope.com. And let's see, if you can't remember our names, you can send a general email to office at prophecyhope.com. And I think that's all the business we have to take care of. And we're going to jump into Romans here in a moment.
Yes.
Right? Back in Romans chapter 9. So if you have your Bibles, get them out, and we're going to start here in just a moment. But I'm going to ask Ed to pray for us first.
Yes, let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, we're grateful again to be able to come together and open your word, the Bible, to gain information about salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ, and that this salvation is for anyone who desires it. There's no limitation. Father, as we study these things in Romans 9, give us wisdom and knowledge to understand and guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, you know, I realized that I do have a cough button right here on this board.
Oh, you do.
So if I just push that button, I can clear my throat. But your mic is very sensitive, so it might pick me up. So forgive me, friends, again, for this raspy voice. So where are we going to start?
Well, we left off last week in Romans 9, pretty much 6 through 9. It's talking about the children of the flesh and the children of promise. Mm-hmm. And that the children of promise were counted for seed. And so really what this is talking about is Abraham had two children.
Okay.
One occurred because Abraham and Sarah didn't trust in God, and they tried to accomplish God's promise through their own idea, their own way. And that's when Abraham took Hagar, which mm-hmm. is Sarah's maid, and had a child with her. And that's the children of the flesh. And the children, and that was Ishmael. Mm-hmm. And the children of promise was Isaac, who in their elderly years, like Sarah was 90, Abraham 100,
right.
they had a child.
That's
because
miraculous.
Of the miracle of God
Amen.
Produced in this.
So from these two boys, Isaac and Ishmael, or let's put them in order, Ishmael and Isaac, there came two great nations, we could say, right? And Isaac was the one who Israel is from,
right?
And Ishmael is the one who the Islamic people are from,
right?
So, you know, there was a struggle back then between the two. There remains to be a struggle today between them.
And what's interesting enough is that neither one of these nation groups today believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
It's very true. And we've touched on this before. And I know many of you are Christians, and we're not going to go into it today, but many Christians don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God.
They believe he's somebody else.
Right. Yeah. So this is a serious issue, and this is why understanding the Bible is so important, understanding what it says.
And if we get to the end of this chapter, we probably will be talking about this a little bit more.
Okay, very good.
All right, so let's continue. Let's read verses 10 through 14. Let's just start with that.
Romans 9, 10 through 14. Are you reading?
Could you read that for me,
please? Romans 9, 10 through 14. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one man, even by our father Isaac, for the children not yet being born or having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to the election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls, it was said to her, "The older shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not."
Okay, so this is interesting language, you know. What was the difference between Esau and Jacob in terms of how they lived their lives?
Well, one of them basically wanted to do the will of God, and the other one was willing to sell their birthright to get what they wanted.
Right. For a bowl of porridge?
Yeah. It's unbelievable. You know, we go back in time. I mean, if we look back from the very beginning, even with Cain and Abel, we see the same type of attitudes.
Right. One is following God and being obedient to him, and the other is not.
Yes. And so isn't this what we see between the children of those who are the children of God and those who are not the children of God?
Yeah.
It's the same.
Right.
So we see these actual accounts in the Bible, and then you see these two groups that one follows God, one does not. But there's an interesting statement here, Ed, where it talks about he hated. It says, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. Do you have any thoughts on this statement?
Well, we can go to Malachi and see where that's written.
Okay, let's do that.
Let's go to Malachi chapter 1.
All right.
And I just have in my notes, I have 2 through 5, so I'm not sure what verse 1 says. What does verse 1 say?
Let's see, Malachi chapter 1. Okay. It says, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. So this is, if I were to read this from the modern King James, it would likely say, the burden of the word of Jehovah to Israel by Malachi.
Right.
I have loved you, says the Lord, that's Jehovah, yet you say, in what way have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, says Jehovah? Yet Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated, and laid waste the mountains and his heritage for the jackals of the wilderness. That's through verse 3.
Okay. Let's continue through verse 5.
Okay. Verse 4 says, even though Edom has said, we have been impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus says Jehovah of hosts, they may build, but I will throw down. They shall be called the territory of wickedness, and the people against whom Jehovah will have indignation forever. Your eyes shall see, and you shall say, Jehovah is magnified beyond the border of Israel.
So verse 4 gives us a good idea of what is going on. The modern King James says, and they shall call them the region of wickedness.
Mm. Okay.
They're doing wicked acts. They're going against the law of God. They're not worshiping God.
Okay. So they're doing what Cain did, and this is talking about what Esau did as well. Not doing the will of God. Doing what Lucifer did.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. So this is why God says, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. Why? Because he wasn't following God. He was worshiping other gods. He was living a wicked, evil life.
So, you know, you think about God and his mercy and his love. In the commandments, it talks about how God is a merciful God, right? And people a lot of times think, well, this God, they look at this Old Testament, they say, this God of the Old Testament was mean. No, he has mercy and he has love. So when it says, I hated, does that mean that he literally hated that person?
I think what God hated was the life they were living.
The actions of the person.
God sent his son that anybody can be saved through his son, Jesus Christ. But if you reject that offer, and, well, they may say, people may say, well, Jesus wasn't alive back then. Well, he was alive. He was the Son of God.
Absolutely.
He just hadn't come to earth. And that promise of deliverance by his sacrifice hadn't happened yet. But they had the sacrificial system that pointed to that and that told them that Christ was going to come. But they rejected that.
So Jesus was alive. He was the Son of God. He just wasn't the Son of Man yet.
Yeah.
Right? And so because all things were created through him. So this brings up an interesting text, because when I think of God and it says here, Esau I hated,
mm-hmm.
Are we ready to go to 2 Peter?
Sure.
Chapter 3?
Yeah.
And just read through this text and see what what it says about God and his love?
Sure.
All right, if I can get this, my throat cleared.
If we can go through verse 13, that would pretty much give us a good context of what Peter's talking about here.
Okay, are you reading or am I reading?
I can read.
Okay.
This is the modern King James, and it's starting with verse 1. Behold, I now write this second letter to you, in which I stir up your pure mind by reminder, to remember the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of the Lord and Savior by us, the apostles. First, knowing this, that there will come in the last days. Are we living in the last days?
I believe we are.
In the last days will come scoffers walking according to their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this is hidden from them by their willing it, that the heavens were of old, and the earth out of the water, and through water, being held together by the word of God, through which the world that then was, being flooded by water, perished. But the present heavens and the earth being kept in store by the same word are being kept for fire until the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But, beloved, let not this one thing be hidden from you, that one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow concerning his promise, as some count slowness, but is long-suffering towards us, not purposing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a rushing noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, and the earth and the works in it will be burned up. Then all these things being about to be dissolved, what sort are you to be in holy behavior and godliness, looking for and rushing the coming of the day of God, on account of which the heavens being on fire will melt away, and the elements will melt with burning heat? But according to his promise, we look for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. So some people say, why hasn't Christ come yet? And Peter's saying, time with God is different.
Mm-hmm.
1,000 years with God is like a day to us.
Right.
That's how fast that 1,000 years goes for God.
Sure.
And so he goes on to say, God is not slack concerning his promises because he wants everyone to be saved.
See, that's so important. So this shows us that it wasn't the person that he hated. It was the actions of the person. It's the choices that they make.
Right.
Their disobedience.
The way they choose to live their lives.
Yeah. I mean, you might have a child that is a disobedient child. You hate what they do, but you don't hate the child. You hope that they come around. The other thing about the time issue with God, you know, the older I get, Ed, the faster time seems to go.
Yeah.
And a year to me now is so fast. And when I was a kid, it just, a year was an eternity.
Yeah.
But you can imagine with God, who has always been, that 1,000 years is just a blip on the screen.
Right.
You know,
let's go to Ezekiel 33 real quick.
Sure.
Ezekiel 33 is a great chapter.
It is.
But I just want to look at one verse there.
Okay.
And it's verse 11.
Okay.
All
right, I'm there.
If I get to 33, here we go.
I've got it here.
This is, again, the modern King James Version, Ezekiel 33:11. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord Jehovah, I have no delight in the death of the wicked, except in turning of the wicked from his way, and to live. Turn from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel?
So there you have it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not the person that he hates. So it's kind of like, I don't remember in Romans, did we read to the part, you know, because we've jumped all over the place here. Did we read where it talked about Pharaoh yet?
That's coming up next.
Oh, okay. So maybe we can sound that down a little more.
Sure. Let's read verses 15.
Romans 9?
15 through 23.
Okay, of Romans 9.
Yeah.
You want me to read that?
Please.
Let me get this in this other Bible here. I have two Bibles laying here. You can probably hear me flipping the pages. And let's see, Romans 9. Yeah.
Starting with verse 15 through 23.
All right. Here's what it says. This is from the New King James. It says, for he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. For the scripture says to the Pharaoh, "For this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth." Therefore he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills he hardens. You will say to me then, "Why does he still find fault? For who has resisted his will?" How far did you want me to read it?
23,
okay. Verse 20 says, "But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, 'Why have you made me like this?' Does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? What if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory?"
So here we have this reference to Pharaoh.
Right.
When the children of Israel were in Egypt, remember they had initially gone to Egypt because of a famine in the land. And through God's providence, miracles, Joseph became a leading member of the Pharaoh's court in Egypt.
Yeah.
And when his brothers came to Egypt to provide food, through that long story, they eventually moved down to Egypt and dwelled there and began to reproduce throughout that region. And it got to the point where they became slaves in Egypt. And then God called Moses to lead them out of Egypt. Mm-hmm. But Pharaoh didn't want them to leave because obviously they were an important part of Egypt because they did all the work for them.
Right. That's right. So what happened at that point?
God sent Moses and Aaron to Pharaoh to say, "Let my people go."
Mm. And then, so they go to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says, at first he was angry, and then he wasn't going to let them go, right? And then we had a plague that came upon them.
Yeah, then he says, okay, have God stop the plague, and then I'll let them go.
And then he reneged.
Yes.
He says, "Nope, I'm not going to let them go."
10 times he did this.
Over and over and over again.
He hardened his heart. God gave him opportunity after opportunity to follow his will, to be obedient to him. But Pharaoh didn't recognize God. You know, one of Pharaoh's complaints about Moses, at one point Moses asked Pharaoh, let us go out and do our sacrifices in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. And Pharaoh complained, all you want to do is let your people rest. Because Moses has taught the people that they were supposed to rest on the Sabbath day.
That's right.
That meant they weren't doing any work.
So you can read this account in the first part of Exodus. If you just start in Exodus, I would recommend to read from Exodus chapter 1.
Okay.
It's just amazing. And you'll see those plagues fall one by one and how Pharaoh would back up. And God did not harden Pharaoh's heart. As when we read that verse, it sounds like, well, God made him that way.
Yeah.
And when we read this in Romans, it sounds like, well, God made some to be destroyed. And no, it's by their choices.
Yeah.
Right? Pharaoh had the opportunity. He could have, and even on the last plague, when the last plague fell, he let them go, and then what did he do?
He came after them. Yeah.
He came. So, Ed, you made a comment. You know, we've done a lot of study over the years, and on our Wednesday night studies, we were in the book of Revelation, and this kind of topic came up, and you made a comment. Do you remember what that comment was about people and their choices and the hardening of the heart?
You know, at the end of the age, as the Bible puts it, everyone's going to have to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
And this will be an eternal decision. Whether you love God and His Son, Jesus Christ, and want their direction in your life and want to be obedient to them because of what they've done for you. Or you can reject them and decide that you're going to follow the life that Satan recommends and his government and his way of life which leads to destruction. I believe at that time that that choice is going to be a permanent choice, that even if they were raised a million years later, they would still make that same choice.
Right.
It's not that they want eternal life with God. They want eternal life in wickedness and evil.
Yes, and your the point that I remember how you said it, it was just, it really struck me. No matter how many opportunities they have, by their own will, they would make the same choice over and
yes.
over.
Yes.
And so
the same for the those that are righteous and the same for those that aren't righteous.
Yes.
They both would make the same choice over and over and over again.
You know, it's this is powerful. God doesn't take our freedom of choice, but because he knows the beginning from the end, he knows, he can read our heart.
Right.
And this is the thing.
And he watches how we live our lives. There's a record of our lives.
Yes, there is. Everything is recorded. We're told that in the Bible. We'll be judged by everything, whether it's in our mind or by our actual deeds. We're told that in Ecclesiastes chapter 12.
Every secret thing, whether it's good or evil.
Yeah, the last verse of Ecclesiastes 12. Mm-hmm. And so, or actually the last two verses. But I think the point that I wanted to make about this is, when we live our life in this world, wherever we are, make a choice for God. Make a choice for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Choose Christ, and he will get you to the Father. And the point is, don't delay, because we don't know what the next... Ed, I don't know what 10 seconds from now brings for me.
Right.
I don't know. I feel like I'll be here, but you don't know.
Right.
So... If you feel that inclined that, you know, I have time, well, I'm just going to wait. I got a few more things I want to accomplish in this life.
Yeah.
Don't put off your relationship with Christ. Don't put it off. And friends, I'm pleading to you to think about these things, because we could be in a position to where we are hardening our own hearts by putting it off.
Yes.
And it just gives Satan an opening to come right in. And this is what happened with Esau. This is what happened with Cain. This is what happened with Pharaoh. Instead of opening their hearts and allowing God's will to be done, they chose their own way.
And so in these happenings, in these choices, the power of God was made known throughout the whole world because of what happened to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt.
That's right.
It could have been known if Pharaoh would have let them go as well. Look at the power of God over this ruler of a kingdom of Egypt.
Sure. See, people back then thought that the pharaohs were, they looked at them like gods.
Yeah.
And they even, in fact, if you read that account, and most of you that have read your Bibles are familiar with this, and some of you who haven't may not be, but when Aaron and Moses went to Pharaoh, there was a point where they threw their staffs down and they turned into snakes. And yeah. Aaron threw his rod or staff down, and it devoured the other snakes.
Yeah.
So you can imagine what that must have, you know, they were like, well, that's no big deal.
Yeah.
But when his devoured theirs, it shows the power of God over false gods.
Over Satan.
Over Satan, because Satan can actually, he can do miracles.
Oh, yeah.
He can do miracles. And we're headed to, he's going to try to pull off the ultimate deception in our future, in our very near future, I believe. And that is impersonating Jesus Christ. He's getting away with part of that now.
Right. You know, this is one reason, Mark, it's so important to know what the Bible says. Because someone can do a miracle and then say something against God's word, and a lot of people will believe it.
Very true.
Because they did this miracle.
Sure. And we have to know, you know, if we can tell what whose team they're on, so to speak, by their works. We've talked a lot about that. Are their works works of the flesh, or are they works of the spirit? And this is how you can tell if the miracle is from God or not.
Right.
Right? So this is why we talk about these things a lot, living in the spirit, living according to God's will. And again, we're in this book of Romans. We're talking about God hardening hearts. He doesn't harden your heart. It's your choice that hardens your heart.
He's seeking you every day. He's giving you opportunities to know him and his son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And when you turn from that, you yourself are hardening your heart time and time again.
Sure.
Eventually to the point where you won't listen anymore.
And it happens, it can happen very gradually before we even know it.
Right.
Just to use an illustration, if you've ever, you know, if you're digging a hole or working in the garden, if you do yard work, you might have, your hand might be very sensitive to the
right.
shovel or to the hoe or whatever you're using, the rake, and it's very sensitive. And over time, what happens?
You develop a callus.
Yes. Well, our personalities, our conscience can become callous
yeah.
to the things around us. And this is how Satan works on us, by putting things in front of us that at one time was very offensive, and now because it's in our face so much, well, that's not so bad.
Yeah.
And he uses media to do these things and yeah. manipulate us. So, again, God wants all to come to repentance. Ed, you just read that in Peter.
Yeah. Let's go back to Romans 9. And
sure.
Mark, I'm going to have you read 22 through 29.
Okay.
22 through 29.
Romans 9, beginning in verse 22. It says, "What if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory, even us whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he says in Hosea, 'I will call them my people who were not my people, and her beloved who was not beloved.' And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, 'You are not my people,' there they shall be called sons of the living God." That's pretty amazing,
that
isn't
is.
It? And verse 27, Isaiah also cries out concerning Israel, "Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, the remnant will be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because the Lord will make a short work upon the earth." As Isaiah said before, unless the Lord of Sabbath had left us unless the Lord of Sabbath had left us a seed, we would have become like Sodom, and we would have been made like Gomorrah.
Who is that seed?
If we're going to become like a seed, we would become like Christ.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we're not familiar, Sodom and Gomorrah was just a horrible place where there was, it got its name because of the sodomy that
yeah.
was going on there. There was terrible sodomy and homosexuality,
yeah.
and God destroyed that city. He brought his people out and rained fire and brimstone on that
yeah.
city.
Lot and his family and his wife ended up not making it because she turned back to... because she was missing the things
yeah.
that were in those cities.
Yeah, and friends, that's a great example for us too, to don't look back. Don't just keep your eyes on Jesus. You know, there's a hymn, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." Mm. And if you haven't heard it, look it up. And it's a beautiful, beautiful hymn.
You know, verses 24 through 26 to me is beautiful. "Whom he called, not only us of the Jews, but also the nations," or as your version says, "the Gentiles."
Mm.
The nations refer to anybody not a Jew, the
right.
nations, the Gentiles. Who says in Hosea, "I will call those not my people, my people, and those not beloved, beloved. And it shall be in the place where it was said to them, 'You are not my people,' there they shall be called sons of the living God."
Yes.
We become sons of God through his son, Jesus Christ.
You know, this also, keep in mind that Paul was a Jew, right?
Yes.
He was a Pharisee.
Yeah.
And here he's become a Christian.
Yeah.
And he recognizes that, you know what? The nation of Israel has made a wrong choice. They're not following the Son of God.
And there's only going to be a remnant.
That's what this says.
Yeah.
So for so many people and so many denominations and Christians believe that the nation of Israel are God's chosen people.
Right.
This is saying very few of them are
yeah.
chosen. It's not the nation. It's the individual.
Right.
This is what we have to remember. He's not saving a nation at this point.
And it's not exclusive to the nation of Israel.
Correct.
Because he called the nations.
That's what you just read.
Yeah. Those shall be called the sons of the living God.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So being sons of God, you know, there was a point, if you remember, when Jesus was on the earth where he called the Pharisees the sons of the devil.
Yeah.
Right?
Because they were carrying through his way of living. They were repeating the things that he was telling them.
Right. They were following Satan.
If you are the Son of God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were asking the same question that people today are asking. Is Jesus really the Son of God?
Right.
And if we don't believe that he is, then we end up being sons of the serpent instead of God.
Right.
So what an interesting topic, and what a beautiful passage of Scripture.
Yeah. You know, if this doesn't give you hope that you shall be called the sons of the living God, maybe we can look at a verse that talks about that in Galatians chapter 4. I'm just going to read verses 4 through 7.
Okay.
It says, again, this is Paul that wrote Galatians. This is the modern King James Version. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, coming into being out of a woman, having come under law, that he might redeem those under law, so that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, so that you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, also heir of God through Christ.
Wow. I want to be a son of God.
Amen.
So, you know, this is a beautiful thing. This is open to anyone who accepts Christ Jesus.
Yes.
To everyone.
That's why Christ came.
Yeah. He gave his life for everyone. And I can't state that enough. It doesn't matter your race. It doesn't matter your background, your skin color. None of this matters. He came to save you, and all you have to do is accept him. And if you accept him, then your life is going to be according to the commandments of God.
Right.
We're going to be following the example that Christ laid. And that means that there are things that we might have in our life today that we have to give up.
Yeah.
There are choices that I had to make when I started following Christ that seemed very, very difficult. And they were difficult. They were hard choices. But choose life. That's what God tells us.
Yeah.
And the life is in Christ Jesus. The Father gave him that.
You know, why don't we just finish up the chapter? There's some really nice stuff. It kind of really tells us in the next few verses, you know, why there's only remnant being saved of Israel and why God says these things to the Gentiles or the nations.
Sure. So where are we going to pick up? We just read
30 through 33.
Okay. Did you want me to read that?
Yes, please.
Romans 9, beginning in verse 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith? But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone, as it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame.
So here we see the issue. The issue was faith. They didn't believe what God was telling them. They didn't believe when God says, I'm going to send my Son, and he's going to die for your sins, and I'm going to send my Spirit into your lives to help you overcome sin in your lives. You know, we see that through the sacrificial system in the Old Testament. The same gospel, Paul says, that was preached to the people of his time was preached to Israel
in
the Old Testament.
Yep.
And here we see that the Gentiles, who didn't have the law of God, believed the preaching, believed the message of the gospel, and was accounted to them as righteousness because of their faith. Whereas Israel, they tried to save themselves. It reminds me of Adam and Eve in the garden.
Yeah, it does.
They ate of the fruit and realized they were naked. So what'd they do? They covered themselves with leaves.
Mm-hmm.
But when God came to meet with them in the garden, they still felt naked.
Mm-hmm. And they ran from him.
Yeah, they hid
from
God.
Yeah.
And what did God do to change their nakedness? He covered them with skins of animals. Mm. The first sacrifice happened, which was the start of the plan of salvation. Amen. The Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world.
It's such a beautiful account that, and God was showing them the plan of salvation,
right,
and saying, if you do this, if you come to the altar and you sacrifice an animal once you have done something wrong,
yes,
and you pour out the blood of that animal, then this shows that you have faith in the plan of salvation
and
that I've laid out.
And the coming Son of God.
And the coming of the Messiah, yeah, Jesus Christ. And so all of those people that lived in the Old Testament before Christ gave his life were putting their faith in what God had laid out for them.
Yes.
And so when we look at the accounts of these Jewish people, this is why Paul had such a burden, because these people, all of their lives throughout history, had put all of their understanding in there's a coming Messiah. And then when he comes, they rejected it.
Yeah.
And they said, no, we want the temple. We want the temple because it makes us uncomfortable to get away from that. It messes with our economy a little bit. And so plus they were stiff-necked. They wanted things the way they were. The leaders had control.
They actually were trying to save themselves,
yes,
by all the laws that they had.
Right.
Much more than what God had commanded them, mm-hmm, to do. They took their little spices and would tithe on the little spices, just little increments,
right,
in order to save themselves.
And this is why, you know, Jesus never broke the law of God,
no,
never. And this is why, but they accused him of it.
Yes.
What he did was he showed them, look, you've stepped over the line here. You've taken it beyond what God has,
right,
said.
He says, it's fine if you want to do things, but you need to do this as well. You need to have,
right,
believe on him. You need to have faith in him, because it's Christ's sacrifice that saves us, that we have forgiveness of sins, and then it's his life that saves us to help us overcome,
amen,
sins.
Yeah, we've read that in Romans 5.
Yes, death
it?
Reconciles us to God because of the forgiveness of sins, because sin has separated us from God, and now his life saves us, because it gives us the power to overcome that sin.
So there's a great advantage that those of us who live in the Christian era have,
yeah,
that those of the Old Testament didn't have. And it's not that we can continue to live in sin. It helps us to overcome the sin.
So in Romans 9:32 it says, why? Because they were not of faith, but as it were by works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone.
So I've got a question for you, Ed. You know, this is a powerful text, because the next verse says, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock,
right,
of offense. What do you know about this text?
I want to start in a little bit different place in, sure, Isaiah 28.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
And we'll eventually get to that text.
Okay.
Okay? And I want to read Isaiah 28:12-21. And it's talking about God wanting to give them rest, but they really didn't accept God's way of attaining rest.
Mm.
I'm going to start in verse 12.
This is
Isaiah 28.
Okay.
Again, this is the modern King James Version. It says, to whom he said, this is the rest, cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they were not willing to hear.
Mm.
But the word of Jehovah was to them precept upon precept, precept on precept, line on line, line on line, here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backwards and be broken and snared and taken.
Mm.
They had to read God's word to understand what it was talking about.
Sure.
Take all of the Bible, all of the scriptures, mm-hmm, versus just what they wanted to take and try to make it into their own religion, their own God,
right,
other than who God was. Verse 14. Therefore, hear the word of Jehovah, scornful men who rule this people in Jerusalem, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and we have made a vision with hell. When the overwhelming rod shall pass through, it shall not come to us, for we have made lies our refuge, and we have hidden ourselves under falsehood. Therefore, says the Lord Jehovah, Behold, I place in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He who believes shall not hurry. Also I will lay judgment to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and water shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be wiped out, and your vision with hell shall not stand. When the overwhelming rod shall pass through, then you shall be beaten down for it. From the time that it goes out, it shall take you, for morning by morning it shall pass over you, by day and by night, and it shall only be a terror to understand the message. For the bed is shorter than one can stretch himself on, and the cover is narrower than one can wrap himself in. For Jehovah shall rise up in Mount Perazim, and shall be angry as at the valley of Gibeon, so that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Hmm. God have given them the knowledge of salvation through the sacrificial system of the sanctuary services.
Right.
They decided to create their own. They made up lies, and they found their refuge in lie. We're going to be okay because we believe this. We're sure this is right. And they told people all these lies and these false prophecies. And God is saying, the bed that you made is shorter than what you can stretch yourself on.
Right.
The coverings that you made, you can't wrap yourself up into. You're going to experience this. You think you've made a covenant with hell and death that's not going to affect you? It hasn't.
Yeah.
It talks about the stumblings. The stone, I will place in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a pressure cornerstone, a sure foundation. He who believes shall not hurry. So let's look at these things. Let's go to Matthew chapter 11.
Okay.
And read verses 28 through 30.
Matthew 11.
In the first verses we read in Isaiah, it talks about a rest. This is the rest, cause the weary to rest. Can you read Matthew 11:28-30?
Sure. And this is Jesus speaking. He says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light."
Jesus came not only to give the people on earth at the time he was on earth rest, but he also wants to give us rest.
Mm-hmm.
But they rejected Christ. Does people reject Jesus today?
Yes.
He's a stone of stumbling. In Matthew 16, let's go to Matthew 16.
Sure.
And let's read verses 15 through 18. In Isaiah, God was talking about, "I will place in Zion a stone for a foundation." What does Jesus have to say about that?
Okay, and Matthew, you want me to read that?
Matthew 16:15-18.
All right. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it."
So Peter was asking the disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they said, "Some say you're Elijah."
Jesus was asking.
Yeah.
You said Peter.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Jesus was asking his disciples, "Who do you say that I am? Who do people say that I am?" People were saying that he's Elijah or one of the other prophets. Then he asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Mm. Then Jesus said to him, "It's on this foundational statement you just made, I will build my church on this rock," this foundational statement.
This is a greatly misunderstood text by millions and millions of Christians.
Peter means pebble or stone.
Right.
Foundational statement that Jesus said, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." That's what Jesus said, "I will build my church on."
Right. He didn't build it on Peter. It was built on Christ, on this rock. Right?
Yes. So in Isaiah, we see God saying, this stone's going to be a precious cornerstone. Let's go to the book of Ephesians, where it talks about that.
Okay.
Ephesians chapter 2, And I'm going to be reading verses 19 through 22. This, again, is the modern King James. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens of the saints and of the household of God, and built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom every building, having been fitly framed together, grows into a holy sanctuary in the Lord, in whom you also are built together for a dwelling place of God through the Spirit. Jesus is that cornerstone.
Yes.
He's the rock, the foundation of the church. It's through him that we can experience the Spirit of God, because we're built together with him into a holy sanctuary.
That's amazing, isn't it? The rock
yes.
of offense.
Yeah.
So what's offensive about this rock?
We're not quite there yet.
Okay.
We'll get there.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
This is exciting.
In Isaiah 28, it talks about a tried stone.
Okay, Isaiah 28.
So how is Jesus a tried stone? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4.
All right.
And Mark, I'm going to read this because I have a different version, okay?
Okay, sure.
Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16. It says, since then we have a great high priest, talking about Jesus, who has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
Let us hold fast our profession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need.
Okay.
So Jesus is the tried stone. He'd been tried. He'd been tempted in all ways like we are, and yet without sin.
In other words, he understands what it's like to be human.
Yes.
Right?
He's experienced life as we have experienced. He was made in all ways like his brothers.
Mm.
He came in the likeness of sinful flesh that Romans 8 talks about.
Okay.
So a sure foundation. Let's talk about a sure foundation in Matthew chapter 7.
All right.
If we go to Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27.
This is really good. Matthew 7, 24. Right? Did you want me to read
that? Yes, please.
Okay, so this is Jesus speaking, 24 through 27 of Matthew 7. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. There's the rock again, huh? And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and the heat and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, he will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall.
So being built on the rock of Jesus Christ, Jesus spoke the words that his Father gave him to speak because he knew that they lead people to life everlasting, as John 12 says.
Right.
So let's go to this idea of the stone of stumbling, the rock of offense.
Okay.
So in 1 Peter chapter 2, it talks about Jesus being the living stone. And I want to read verses 7 and 8.
Okay.
Therefore, to you who believe is the honor, but those who are disobedient, he is the stone which the builders rejected.
Mm.
This one came to be the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to those disobeying, who stumble at the word to which they were also appointed.
Wow.
Jesus is a rock of offense, a stone of stumbling, because they are disobedient to God. The Jews, the Pharisees, were offended because Jesus said he's the Son of God.
Right.
It caused them to stumble at what Christ taught. It was offensive to them that Jesus said he was the Son of God.
You know, it's offensive to people today when this ministry, when we and others around the world say that Jesus is the Son of God.
Do you think that's why Paul was saying there's only going to be a remnant?
Yes, I do. I do, because, you know, and I know Christians are listening saying, well, I believe he's the Son of God, but the problem is many Christians believe he's God the Son,
right,
and not the Son of God. They don't believe that Christ came forth from the Father sometime in eternity past.
They don't believe he's a literal Son of God.
Correct. Correct. Yes. A lot of Christians are taught that Jesus is co-eternal with the Father, but as we've mentioned many times, a son is never as old as his father.
Right. In John chapter 6, Jesus talks, I am the bread of life that came down from heaven.
Yes.
You know, eat of my flesh, drink of my blood, and you'll have salvation.
Mm.
And verse 65 says, and he said, because of this I said that no one can come to me unless it was given to him by my Father. And from this time, many of his disciples went back to the things behind and walked no more with him. And Jesus said to the 12, do you wish to go away? Then Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have known you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
So these other things were offensive, even to some of his own disciples,
yes,
and they left him.
They did.
So just because you are a Christian, are you offended when we say that Jesus is the literal Son of God?
Many are. Many are, and it's unfortunate. You know, the other thing about that, he didn't say, where shall we go? He says, to whom, right?
Yeah.
So many people think it says, where. I was taught that all of my life. Where shall I go? I thought if I wasn't attached to a particular church or denomination, but I have to be attached to Jesus Christ.
Yes.
He's the way, the truth, and the life. That's the only way to salvation. It's not through a church.
That may be a stumbling block to some, just what you said.
Absolutely, it might be. So, you know, we are out of time.
Okay.
Wow, what a beautiful study, Ed. And I know there's so much more. Maybe we can. Maybe you can expound on this a little more next week.
All right.
So, friends, let's. We're out of time, so we have to close with prayer. So let's have a closing prayer together. Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful. What a beautiful study to understand that Jesus is the rock of salvation, that he is the cornerstone of the church, that he is your literal son. And Father, we just ask that you will help us to understand that our hearts will not become hardened, that we can be in Christ Jesus and Christ in us. Please be with us through this week. Keep us safe and bring us back together again next week. And we just ask for your blessings upon us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Ed, thank you so much. What a wonderful study.
Yeah, it's great to study God's Word.
It is. It is. And friends, we hope you'll tune in again next week right here on New Visions Radio, 7 p.m. Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.